Hello everyone and welcome to the Middle East and North Africa Social Policy Network podcast series. We hope you enjoy this episode. Make sure to subscribe to our channel and follow us on social media. For more information, please visit our website at www.menasp.com.
Welcome to the MENA SP Network. My name is Noor Al-Abbas. I am an early career representative at the MENA Social Policy Network. In this podcast, I'll be chatting with Berge Dikramanjian. Berge is a pre-doctoral researcher at DEMOSOC and a PhD fellow of AGA OR. Berge's past work investigated inclusive leadership and its mediating effect on group risk propensity. Currently, he is investigating the uptake, proliferation, and communal impact of citizen science, focusing on participant motivation through regulatory focus orientation and the effect of persuasive system designs on participant engagement and contribution. He is part of the ERC-funded Human-Mosquito Interaction Project and also an investigator at Mosquito Alert. He combines experimental work with the use of representative survey data and is proficient in the analysis of large data sets. So, Berge, welcome. Happy to meet you.
Hello, Noor. Happy to meet you as well.
So, I think, I think the most important question is that tell us about your PhD, the background of your topic, and what led you to research such topic, Berge?
All right. So first off, allow me to thank you for having me, Noor. Thank you for allowing me the chance to speak about this. Yes. So the background is a bit mixed. So I started, first of all, I majored in psychology back in Lebanon. And then after graduating, I took a break because I thought there were some things that are more important. And I worked for 4 years, first in Lebanon and then regionally with one of the most well-known environmental NGOs globally. Like I worked with Greenpeace. So then I went back to my psychology, organization psychology, which drove me back to Spain here to complete my PhD. So I think like from the beginning, like curiosity about human behavior, working on collective direct action and a good healthy dose of concern about what's happening with the climate crisis is basically what drove me to focus on what I'm doing now. And that is to work on, as part of the human mosquito interaction, to focus on citizen science with Mosquito Alert.
Very interesting, Berge, and diverse background.
Yes.
So I think, would you explain more to us about the Human Mosquito Interaction Project that you are part of?
Yeah, all right. So the project itself is funded by the European Research Council, and it's interested, like basically the name kind of explained it. It's interested in the interaction of mosquitoes and humans. So as you know, as most people know, that mosquitoes are responsible for some of the most horrible diseases and serious health repercussions around the world, actually. And one fact that is not really well known, it's common, but it's not really well known by people, is that mosquitoes are the most dangerous animals on Earth. They kill around or more than 750,000 people per year globally. So all of this is a given and has been established for a while, but the reason the project is active at the moment is, unfortunately, is because of the reemergence of viruses in areas that were previously non-existent in. So, for example, here in Europe, we started detecting West Nile virus. There was the transmission of chikungunya and dengue viruses in the past 10 years. And all of this is happening because the climate crisis is making it possible for invasive mosquito species, which are the main problem, to be able to spread these diseases and thrive in areas that were not suitable for them beforehand. So to go back to the human-mosquito interaction project, what the project is mainly interested in is three facets. First of all, to do DNA analysis on the mosquitoes to understand better the preferences and the biting patterns they have, because till now, we have the standard model of transmission for diseases. So like everybody has an equal chance, which is not really accurate. Like, deep down, we all know that some of us get bitten more often than others by mosquitoes. The second part is using volunteers to share their mobility data in order to understand the interaction part, because most of the interaction is driven by us. So mosquitoes in their lifespan usually don't travel further than 200 meters. But with human mobility, we can take them around in our cars, or more importantly, like in shipping trains or cargo ships. So we have to know how we move our mobility in order to understand better this interaction. And the last and the final part of it is the citizen science part, which mainly I'm focused on. And it's where normal people from everyday life, regardless of their scientific background, regardless of their socioeconomic background or geographical background, they're able to help provide important data and to help research progress by identifying and picturing and sharing with the project images of mosquitoes they encounter or information on the bites they receive. So mainly my focus in this project is to understand why people participate, why do they join, what is the style of communication that would help us lead them towards the goal that we want, because people are different in how they understand the goals. And what would drive the motivation for them to continuously contribute to a project like this?
This is very interesting. I'm really intrigued by the last part as well that you described. It seemed like a co-production process here that you are interested of in. And maybe I think a very important question here is that how your project is related to social policy in the MENA region, if you could explain.
So, sure. Yes. So basically, it is like the whole project, citizen science in general, is built like it's not something new, but it's been like picking up pace in the past 20 years specifically, and it's interested in many different topics. But it is built on collaboration and collective action. So basically, that's the starting point of it all. But to come back to why it's related to social policy. So this has been taking my interest, especially in the past year. And there are two main aspects for this push, for my interest and for this push that the project has been taking in the past year, specifically in the MENA region. The first, of course, is the success of the project, the successful track record of the project to work in collaboration with local authorities here in Europe, whether it is the Catalan government or whether it is governments spread around Europe, in order to create partnerships that allow citizen science knowledge to spread among the citizen and the pickup and the education that has to come with it. And the second and the most important part for me personally and for like the project itself or what we're studying is the relevance of the MENA region, both geographically and due to current events. So geographically speaking, like I spoke a bit about like how my career started with environmental NGOs. So my first encounter with the tiger mosquito, for example, which is the invasive species that the project started studying and then it spread out to other species. My first encounter with them was back in Lebanon, where we were fundraising with our teammates and we started getting these horrible bites. They would be like super itchy. They would last for 3 days and we would not understand because like this used to happen during the day, which, as you know, is not common. Only later to figure out that this is a different mosquito species. So this is like the one, like the famous white stripes on them. It turned out to be the tiger mosquito species after we saw it. And we were young then, but like we never experienced something like this in Lebanon. But geographically speaking, the MENA region, like since we're seeing the spread, like the spread of these invasive species, which is happening from more humid, more temperate areas, in order for them to come up north, they have to pass the MENA region. So even though we are impacted by this significantly, we're on the way for them to get to Europe, We don't really hear about it because there's a lack of information coming from the MENA region specifically to follow up these cases. The second thing, which is more unfortunate but is realistic, is due to basically current events. And these could be current events driven by political upheaval or by, as mentioned, which is a global crisis, problems that rise from the climate crisis. So in the past few years, we witnessed increasing mobility displacement and migration, which has been well covered. And I think it's well known to everybody within the region. But we see a huge number of displaced people, a huge number of people on the move, whether it's through migration, forced displacement. So there have been studies down to the level of covering even like road maps of like just routes that migrants take by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands every year. And this makes it incredibly important for us to understand how the mechanism of this mobility, which I mentioned as part of our interaction with mosquitoes, is affecting this spread of these invasive species. So understanding this and having a mechanism that can identify the spread and be able to quickly mitigate any potential spread of diseases or the species becomes more and more valuable. So the foremost strength of having policy that actually drives this in the region is that regardless of however many traps you have, so basically the way this works, for example, here in a lot of places, that you have a lot of funding and then you place traps in different places in order to monitor this. We are in the region, we are already lacking the funds and infrastructure to complete this. But moreover, I think there's no better way of tracking human mobility and interaction than using humans themselves, because it's better than having a trap in a corner when you can have an actual human that is in the locations that human beings are. So basically, due to budget and due to the coverage that humans have, we are able to focus on zones where other governmental methods are unable to reach. And this mechanism, if it's not as efficient as the institutional methods, which it is proven that it is, it might even surpass it. So have examples, for example, like the first case of Japonicus, Aedes japonicus in Spain, for example, was identified through this mechanism. So it makes it incredibly valuable to be able to reach zones which are hard to reach due to lacking infrastructure, but mainly because of upheaval causing people to go in these different directions. The only way to access these information could be through the help of citizen scientists being able to provide this information.
So it's more like it's a bottom-up approach than it's are you gonna later on approach government agencies or only work with NGOs, etc.?
No, so it is like the whole mechanism is bottom up. Without without volunteerism, it basically cannot function. But the way this has worked and the best way to progress with this, other than having a crisis that pushes people towards it, is to work with local governments, which there is already a successful track record of working in different regions. So basically, by working with the local governments, you're allowing the population, which is in the eye of the storm, so to say, to have better control through being able to improve and assess the threat levels around them and to mitigate them. So by working through local governments, first of all, by contacting them, you need to inform them about the problem and how this could be a solution. And through the local governments, you are able to reach important assets within the community, whether it is through schools or whether it is through public services, or just by being able to get the message out, you're able to educate people first and foremost about the potential of citizen science and the potential of the threat they might be facing and how they could be part of the solution. Because I think that most important part of the bottom-up thing that you described is that you allow people that are most affected by these issues to be the people that are actually doing something about it, instead of waiting for a centralized authority that might be far away from them and not always concerned about the issues in their region.
Very interesting, Berg. I think I would ask a final question here. Is that maybe could you mention or suggest material, books, website for people who could be now interested in reading or knowing more about this project by, you know, after listening to this podcast?
Yes, sure. So like what I was going to say is like, of course, like people can start joining right now. Like we have, I think at this point, we have surpassed 50,000 reports that we received from 36 different countries. So this is something that people can already access and contribute to. So people can access Mosquito Alert platform through their phones. It's the way it works. And basically they can be, like they are able to provide information about biting history for themselves and track their biting history, but also to provide information about mosquitoes they encounter. Like by doing that, they are being part of the solution and are an incredible help. And we already have this active in 36 different countries, and we have a lot of the communities in the MENA region. Even though it's scarce, we have a lot of participants from there as well. So I would really encourage people to be part of it. And I would hope people, like, they have lots of resources that they can reach through the website or through the application to be able to learn more about the issues and to be able to learn more about the species themselves. And to volunteer their time, even if it's like a few seconds for them, it would be incredibly beneficial for the communities around them and for themselves, even when they want to track their health record when it comes to mosquitoes.
Many thanks, Bert. Many thanks for this. It was really interesting to learn more about your project. And do you want to add any final words, Bert?
No, to be honest, I want to thank you in the end. Thank you for letting me get the word out a bit. And thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed the conversation. And see you soon. All right.
See you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.